So we're so thankful that you're here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer as we dive into a message today that we're very, very excited about. So thankful that you're here, and just pray that God does something powerful in our hearts today. Father, we thank you for this great day. We've done that multiple times today. We're just so grateful. And Father, we're just grateful for that one on our right, the one on our left, the one in front of us, behind us. We're so thankful that we can gather together. We have that freedom to come together. And Lord, I just pray that this moment would be so not about me. And Lord, I pray that this moment would be so much about you. So much about you. So Lord, I just pray that you would come in my weakness and that you would anoint by your Spirit the words that are spoken this morning. But I also pray, Lord, that open hearts today by your Spirit. Open hearts, open minds, open ears. Give us ears to hear today as we explore some. For some people, these are going to be new waters. And I just pray that you would be so involved in these moments as we spend together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Well, today, does anyone know what today is on the church calendar? Anyone know what today is on the church? Okay, let me just share this with you. Today, churches around the world, all sizes, all denominations, are celebrating what is called Pentecost Sunday, okay? So what is Pentecost Sunday? Well, you can read about Pentecost Sunday if you have time this week, and I would encourage you to take the time to open your Bible and read one of the most amazing stories in the Bible as you open up to Acts chapter 2. Some incredible things happen in Acts chapter 2, so I really challenge you this week to open up and to read to Acts chapter 2. And it's there on the day of Pentecost that Christians, what they do is they celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised, okay? Actually, it was before his resurrection, or before he went to the cross. And even after the resurrection, Jesus promised that, hey, there's something special coming, a special person, and that is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this was the day where many people believe this is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. It's also, many people believe, it's the birthday of the church. So it would be very appropriate, don't worry, we won't do it, but we could actually sing happy birthday to the church. Would that be a little weird? Yeah, it would be a little weird, so we won't do it, okay? But really, this is the day when the Spirit came. The church just got exploded, just had its launch. So all in Acts chapter 2, all in this powerful day that we call Pentecost. So what I thought this would be a wonderful, wonderful day to launch a new collection of talks. And the new collection of talks is going to be this, today's topic. This is in your notes, by the way. There are notes this morning on the back of your page here. So if you want to follow along and see how much longer I have to talk, hey, don't let that surprise you, okay? It's there. You can say, okay, he's got three more points. Oh, Lord, help us. So anyway, here we go. So today, our topic is going to be the forgotten God. The forgotten God. Let me explain what that means or what I'm thinking. I think a lot of people are very familiar. You can wrap your mind around the fact of God the Father. You can think of a father. We all have a father. It may be a great example, poor example, but we have a father. So we can identify with God the Father. And then we can identify with Jesus, the Son, God the Son. We can identify with that. We've heard, we know about Christmas. We know about the resurrection at Easter. We can identify easily with Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's some people actually right now in this room, you're getting nervous. I can feel your nerves. I have that ability, okay? I just have that gift. And a lot of times what we've done with the Holy Spirit is we've kind of said he's become exactly what actually Francis Chan came up with this thought. He's become the forgotten God. And we don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's two extremes. One extreme is a lot of churches say nothing. And then the other extreme is we've all met some weird people. Yay or nay? And they've been weird in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I want to let you know they were weird before. Okay, we need to move on. It's not the Holy Spirit that makes us weird. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us better. Amen? So what I want to do today is all I want to do in this series, this collection of talks, is I want to help everybody have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you're here today and this is all new. Or maybe, let's say on a scale 1 to 10. And maybe you're a 2. My goal in this series for the next 4 weeks is to say, I just want to bump you up. I want you to learn a little more about the Holy Spirit, a lot more about the Holy Spirit, because it's so wonderful. So let's begin this morning. We're going to have, just for the next few minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to begin today simply by looking at this one question. Who is the Holy Spirit? So I just want to give you a heads up this morning. This is what's going to happen. This is kind of going to be like a classroom at school, at college. It's going to be kind of like Theology of the Holy Spirit 101. So I'm going to step out of preaching. I'm going to do more teaching just for a few minutes, and then we're going to close with an illustration that I hope really helps you to understand and put all the things that we talked about together. So is everybody on the same page? Say yay. And everybody else, it's not, just hang in there with us, okay? Just hang in there. So I want to encourage you to take your notes and fill in the blanks as we go. We're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to show you, by the way, I've kind of got these a little out of order because I had a change of thought last night as I was thinking about the message. The Holy Spirit was moving, okay? So who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, in your notes, I want you to write down the Holy Spirit is a person. Everybody say person. The Holy Spirit's not an it. Is everybody hearing me? It's not this force or thing that's emanating from God's presence. It's not an it, it's a person. And one of the key reasons why we believe in the personality of the Holy Spirit is that he has the characteristics of a person, okay? Let's just look at three of those characteristics that he has. First of all, he has intellect. You can put that in your notes, intellect. A great verse that talks about this, Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 2:10-11 says these words. But he says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. It's cool. Verse 11 says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. So the Spirit has an intellect. Second of all, you may find this very interesting. Is there any emotional people in the room this morning? I'm very emotional, if you haven't found out. How many people know we see that the Holy Spirit's a person because he's emotional? This is an amazing verse that you never have seen before. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says this to believers. He's talking to Christians. He says, hey, you guys, don't bring sorrow. Some translation says don't grieve, but it says don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit to the way that you live, by the way that you live. He's talking to Christians who were living kind of not a real Christian life. They were living in sin, and Paul's saying, hey, when you do that, you're grieving. You're bringing sorrow. It breaks the heart of the Holy Spirit when we continue to live how we're not supposed to live, because the Holy Spirit's a person. He has emotions. Then here's another one that might surprise you. The Holy Spirit has a will. Let's look at this verse. You can write all these verses down so you can look at them later to make sure I'm telling you the truth. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, it is the one and only Spirit. And check out what he does. He distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So what Paul is saying here is the moment you become a Christ follower, you say yes to Christ, you've repented of your sins, you put your faith in Christ for forgiveness, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins a work in your life. And I want everybody to listen to this. The Holy Spirit gives you a gift. It's called a spiritual gift. Some people have multiple spiritual gifts. By the way, we'll talk about spiritual gifts in week 3 or 4. I'm not sure where we're heading, what week that will be. But we're going to talk about, if you're a believer today, if you said yes to Christ, the Holy Spirit, by his will, has chosen what gift each and every one of us has. And I want to encourage you, if you have a gift, we need to be using that gift, exercising it. It's like a muscle. You got to use it to become stronger, okay? So what we see there is the Holy Spirit has a will. So anyway, there's in addition, the Holy Spirit does things that only a person would do. The Holy Spirit teaches us. That's what Jesus said before he left the disciples. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Another thing, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit will pray for you? He knows what's ahead of your day, because we're going to see that he knows all things, and he's praying for you. I can't tell you how many times I can just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. He was praying for me as my day went forward. He prays for us as believers. He performs miracles. These are all found in Scripture. Number 4, He comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. If you're here today and you're just going through turmoil, you're going through a challenge and life's just got the better side of you, I want to let you know you can just rest. You can just rest in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He gives us comfort. And here's another one. The Holy Spirit guides us. He guides believers. We're not just out there walking around aimlessly, but as believers, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and He guides us into certain situations. There's certain things that He calls us to do, okay? And I could tell story after story of that. I just heard an amazing story this week of a guy. He's a pastor in Tennessee, and he was out taking his morning jog. And as he was jogging, there was a guy out there watering his flowers or his grass, whatever it was. And as he jogged by, he felt the voice of the prompting of the Holy Spirit guiding him to say, "Hey, go witness to that guy. Go tell that guy about me." And as he walked, as he continued to run, he was like, "No, that's too weird." But it became such a strong prompting and guiding of the Holy Spirit that he went back to that guy as he's watering, said, "Hey, can I tell you about Jesus?" And he shared with him about the death, the burial, resurrection of Christ. And after that, he became very bold and he said, "Hey, do you want to become a Christian?" And the guy said, "No." He's like, "Well, I didn't expect that. Did I do such a bad job presenting that you said no?" And he said, "No." And he just went on with his jog. So here's the story. About 2 years later, this guy was a youth pastor at a church, and he was praying, and he was thinking about becoming a youth pastor at another church, which was only about 8 miles apart in the same city. And he was actually going to a meeting that night to meet with the other church where they were going to ask him to become the youth pastor. An incredible story. And about 5 minutes before he was about ready to leave the house, there was a knock on the door. And when he opened the door, it was that guy that he had witnessed to Christ about 2 years previous. And the guy said, "Hey, I was driving by and the Holy Spirit told me to stop and just let you know about 6 months after you visited me in my front yard, about 6 months after that, I became a Christian." And he was like, "Wow." So the pastor said, "Well, sir, what are you doing now?" He's saying, "Hey, I attend this church down the road." By the way, it was the same church that he was about ready to go to. And he said, "Well, what do you do at that church?" He says, "I work with the youth group at that church." He's like, "What? You work with the youth group at that church?" And he said, "Yeah, and what do you do with the youth group?" He says, "My only job is I intercede in prayer. So during the service, when the kids are meeting, I'm in the back room and I'm praying for the Spirit of God to move." And he said, "Hey, what have you guys been praying about?" He said, "We've been praying for a new youth pastor." And he stuck out his hand and said, "I'm him." Folks, the Holy Spirit, that's a great story, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit, that's the kind of things He does. The question, and who does those type of things? I'll answer that question. The Holy Spirit does those type of things. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit, I almost said it. Slap me for that. He, the Holy Spirit, further proof that He's a person is this. Jesus, right before He left the disciples, look what He said in John chapter 16. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard." He, are you getting the point? Not it. He will tell you about the future. Verse 14, "He," I hope you're catching on, "will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me." So Jesus, when referring to the Holy Spirit who was becoming, He doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He refers to the Holy Spirit as He, a person. So that's my case in point number one, is the Holy Spirit's a person. Point number two is simply this: the Holy Spirit is God. And there's a lot of evidence in Scripture, if you had the time, just to show you that the Holy Spirit is, yes, God. And one of the most direct stories that shows us this is in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. We're introduced to this couple that just came to Christ out of Judaism, and their names are Ananias and Sapphira. How many people have heard that story? It's a great story. Well, here's what happened if you haven't read that story. Ananias and Sapphira, they had a piece of property. They sold their land that they owned, and they brought all the proceeds to give to the church in Jerusalem. But they kept some of the money for themselves, but they gave the rest to the apostle Peter. However, in the process, they lied to Peter, telling him that they had given all their proceeds of the sale of the land to the church. So they kind of, they lied. And we're not sure why. Maybe they wanted to look better spiritually and, wow, look at, we gave everything. But some way or another, Peter found out the truth. I don't know how that happened. Maybe somebody told him. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. But look what Peter says to this, the guy. He says this to Ananias. It says, then Peter said, Ananias, by the way, he's not a politically friendly pastor, okay? Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied. Look at who he says. You lied to who? The Holy Spirit. And you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was yours to give. How could you do such a thing like this? And look at what Peter says. He mentioned him as Holy Spirit earlier. Now look what he says. You weren't lying to us, but you were lying to God. So Peter declared that to lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God. By the way, how many people know the rest of that story? Ananias fell down right there and died. So what we see here is the Holy Spirit is God. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit has characteristics of God. Let's look at some of those characteristics of God. First of all, he is God. He's all-knowing. If you want to write down a scripture to go with that, go with 1 Corinthians 2:10, 11. We already looked at that. He's also all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation, you see that the Holy Spirit participated with God in the creation of the world. So he's all-powerful. He's all-powerful, and he lives inside of you. We also see that he is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Let's look at this one verse, Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8 says this. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. So what we see there is the Holy Spirit is God. And I love what Francis Chan says. He says, if we forget the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're really forgetting God. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Then let's look at the final one. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. So in the historical teachings of Christianity, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit states that there's one God. There's one God who exists in three persons, three people, okay? But here's the deal. We have this finite mind. It's been corrupted by sin. So we can't fully comprehend this in our own being. Even though the Bible teaches us, the deal is there's God. He is one God, three persons, three people in one. It's amazing. And I heard it illustrated like this before. We know of an egg. We know of egg as one egg, but it's made up of a shell. It's also made up of the white. Does anybody eat the white, by the way? Oh, good. And then we have the yolk, the yolk. So what we have there is we have a picture of three in one. An egg is made up of a shell, a white, and a yolk. Okay, here's another one I saw recently, a clover. Okay, a clover is basically three leaves, but it's one clover. You say, well, what about a four-leaf clover? Don't ask me about that one. It's heresy, okay? So we'll stay away from that one. Here we go. Another one is, another great example would be H2O. We have what? Water. We have ice. Doesn't that look good? That would have been really good on Friday, right? Ice. And then what we have is steam. So what we see here is we see in these illustrations of one thing, three in existence make one. And that's the way it is with God. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there's two amazing verses that really simplify this for us. In 2 Corinthians 13, Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And in the end of the letter, he says goodbye. It's called a benediction. And look what he says. He says, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So all are included, Jesus Christ the Son, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit. So we see this triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me give you one other example. Many people know this one. Right before Jesus ascended back to heaven, where he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus said these words, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. And can we all say this together? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what we see here is the Trinity. And if actually you had time this week, you went to Mark chapter 1, We see the Trinity present at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus goes into the water. We hear a voice from heaven, God the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we see, once again, we see the Holy Spirit. This time, he comes in the form of a visible form of a dove. So we see the Trinity in action throughout Old and New Testament alike, okay? So that's the end of the teaching today. What I want to do today as I can conclude here is I want to share with you an illustration that I hope is very meaningful and helpful to you as we kick off this series of talks on the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, I told you that when we're trying to get a message across to somebody, we want to communicate to them the why. Why is it important? And I want to communicate with you as we begin this series, why is it important that we know that we have a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is? Because some of you here today, you would say, well, why can't we just stay away from that topic that's, for some people, a little scary, a little freaky for some people? Why do we really have to talk about this? And I want to just illustrate to you why I think it's important that we don't just ignore the Holy Spirit. Why is it important that we talk about the Holy Spirit? And I could come up with a list of several reasons why it's important that we have a better understanding, that we have a better knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is. But there's one in particular that I want to share with you this morning that I think is so meaningful. And that is that we need to know who the Holy Spirit is so that we don't live in fear of him. We should not fear the Holy Spirit. I just want to impress that upon your heart today. We should not fear the Holy Spirit, nor should we ignore the Holy Spirit. And I just really want you to listen in. I don't want us to ignore the Holy Spirit, because when we ignore the Holy Spirit, the result is we often attempt to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And I want to let you know something today. I'm going to be very just talking to you like a friend, somebody loves you a lot. To try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, it won't work. Is everybody hearing me this morning? It won't work. So that's why what we see a lot in churches around the world, even here in our church, what we see is we have a lot of frustrated people. Meaning, yeah, we have this strong desire to live a Christian life. We have this strong desire to be used by God. And what's happening for many people is you're not seeing results. It feels like your failure rate is higher than your success rate, if we could say it that way. We're feeling like that, God, I know you want me to do this, but I can't do it. And what happens is people get frustrated, and ultimately what happens is there's a lot of people that drop out. They quit. I can't do this. I can't live holy. I can't live in obedience to God's word. I can't do what God's called me to do. I can't. And they throw up their arms. And there's probably people, I've done this before. I've done this while I've been pastoring this church. Is we live in a country where we're really independent. And we take pride in our independence. And we wear our independence like a badge of honor. I'll do this. I can do this. And I've done that in my Christian life. I can do this. I've done that in pastoring this church. I can do this. And I want to let you know, I have suffered defeat in my life. And I've suffered defeat in pastoring this church. Because there's times that I'm very independent. I left home at 18 years old, and I've never been back, except to visit. I've been kind of kicked out of the, not, I almost said kicked out of the family, but far from that, okay? My family loves me. They think I'm their favorite son. Don't tell anybody else. But I've left, and I went in the Air Force. I just had to get on my own feet. I remember the first couple weeks in tears, lonely. Like, what did I do? So what I'm trying to say is I've grown to be independent, where if you ask people close to me, I'd try to do a lot by myself. Sometimes it's easier to do it by yourself than to invite other people along. So where was I going with this? Here's where I was going. We try to attempt to live the Christian life without him. I want to illustrate this morning. How many are privileged to own one of these? Come on now, don't be ashamed. How many people have a blower? Raise your hand in pride. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, that was one of my best purchases. I love my blower. How many people know these are a godsend? Because how many people woke up this week? Get the blower out. And how many people had those all over their driveway, their sidewalk? And how many people know a broom does it? Don't even go with a broom. A broom is broke. But how many people know if you have a blower, you can turn that blower off, on, and you can make some serious changes quick? So let me ask you this. If you were looking out your kitchen window one day and you saw your neighbor had all these whirly birds and grass on their driveway and he had his blower out and he was trying to operate his blower without power, trying to move it around quick enough to get those little whirly birds to move, how many people know you'd probably call somebody else in your family to the window and say, look at this guy? How many people would say, by the way, let's get this on video. Let's get this on video. How many people know this blower is not as effective as it could be unless you do what? Let's see what we can do here. I knew this would be a little, just talk to your neighbor, say he's got this. But how many people know it makes a difference? You turn that blower on. How many people know this blower only works to its capacity when it's connected to a power source? So here's what's happening in a lot of Christians' lives. You're trying to live this Christian life, trying to be this good Christian, holy Christian, trying to do what you believe God's called you to be. And here you are, it's silly. You're trying to do it all. You have the equipment, you have what's necessary, but you're missing one big thing. You're missing the power. Amen. You're missing the power. And as a result, you're going to work yourself up into a tizzy. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up on relationship, whatever it may be, because you have what it takes. But you're missing one of the most key ingredients. You're missing the power. And I want to just quote one verse to you in closing. Right, the last words of Jesus, the last words of Jesus, you know where they're found? They're found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Greek word there for power is dunamis. That's where we get our English word dynamite. And what Jesus is saying, there's one coming, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you what? Everybody say it together. Power. Come on now, say it like you mean it. Power. Say it till I get this figured out. Power. Keep saying power. Power chicken, Aaron. Somebody help me out here. Power chicken. So you need other people to help you out. That's hard, isn't it? It's harder than it looks. Let's see if it's hooked up. It works. Power. So this is what I want to say to you this morning. This is what I want you to remember for the next 3 weeks, four including today. You have power available to you. You have power available to you to walk the Christian walk. You have power available to you to do what God's called you to do. You have power to do, to witness to people, tell people about Christ. You have a power to make a difference on your campus, in your family, in River Falls. There's power available. But I tell you what, it's not because of who you are. It's not your own power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is we need to make ourselves available. We got to connect and say, Holy Spirit, I'm done. I'm done doing it on my own. And Holy Spirit, I want to invite you into my life. And I want to surrender. There's a good word right there, surrender. We got to surrender and say, Holy Spirit, I just surrender to you. Folks, we don't need to be fearful. We don't have to ignore. Because, folks, let's not try to do this alone. Let's not try to do this alone. Let's embrace the person of the Holy Spirit. Receive comfort today in your heart. Receive that direction. Maybe you're asking right now, you have a big decision you have to make. Receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit right now. He'll lead you into truth. He'll lead you into truth. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,